Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll continue with The Energy and Fame of Solomon, as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 8, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Came to pass at the end of 20 years, when he had finished now his own house also. He was 7 years building the house of the Lord, 13 years building his own house. That the cities which Hiram had restored to Solomon. Now, Solomon, in repayment to Hiram, the king of Lebanon, for the cedars and all that he had done, Solomon said, here, have these cities up there, which were in the area of the borders between Israel and Lebanon, probably in the area of Metula and Marjarun and that valley up in there. And he said, you can have those cities. Well, Hiram came out and looked at the cities. And he said, no thanks. You know, I mean, he said, they're Kabul, which is worthless, you know. So Solomon, inasmuch as Hiram returned them back, didn't take them, decided to build the cities up to fortify them and all. And so these cities which Hiram had restored to Solomon, Solomon built them, caused the children of Israel to dwell in them. And Solomon went to Hamath-Zobah and prevailed against it. Now, he built Tadmor in the wilderness, and the storage cities which he built in Hamath. These are clear up in the area of Lebanon and Syria. And he built Beth-Horon, the upper, and Beth-Horon, the nether, is the lower. So the two cities, they're about 3 miles from each other. They're in the area of Ephraim, just north of Jerusalem, 20 miles near the area of Gibeon. And with the walls and the gates and the bars and Baalath and all of the store cities that Solomon had and all the chariot cities, the cities for the horsemen, all that Solomon desired to build in Jerusalem and in Lebanon and throughout all the land of his dominion. So he was a tremendous builder. There are cities today, the ruins of the cities, such as Megiddo, where you can see still the gates that Solomon built in the city of Megiddo, which are typical Solomon. And so there are about four different cities that have been excavated with the same type of gate, which caused a sort of Solomon's imprint, you know, that this was one of the cities that Solomon rebuilt. He built a special type of a gate for defense that is peculiar to Solomon. And you find that there at Megiddo. You find another one at Hazor. And these particular Solomonic types of gates that identify them with Solomon's time. And so you can actually see the stones that were placed there at the time of Solomon, these cities that were fortified and built by him during his dominion. As for all the people that were left of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which were in Israel, which they left alive, they made these people the slaves. Their children that were left in the land that were not consumed by Israel, Solomon made them to pay tribute, and that was by slavery unto this day. But of the children of Israel did Solomon not make servants for his work, but they were the men of war, the chief of his captains and the captains of his chariots and horsemen. And these were the chief of King Solomon's officers, even 250 who bore rule over the people. And Solomon brought up the daughter of Pharaoh out of the city of David to the house that he had built for her. So he built this splendid palace for the daughter of Pharaoh. For he said, my wife shall not dwell in the house of David, the king of Israel, because the places are holy whereunto the ark of the Lord hath come. David evidently, when he built the tent for the ark of the Lord, built it right there near his house. And so Solomon, realizing that this woman that he had was not a righteous woman, built a special house, didn't let her live in that place that David had because of the ark of the Lord having been there. And Solomon offered the burnt offerings unto the Lord on the altar of the Lord, which he had built before the porch, even after a certain rate every day, offering according to the commandment of Moses on the Sabbaths, the new moons, the solemn feast, and three times in the year, even the feast of the unleavened bread, the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles. So he continued to observe the sacrifices daily, weekly, the Sabbaths, the new moons, and then the annual feast. He appointed, according to the order of David his father, the courses of the priests for their service, the Levites for their charges, and they were to praise and minister before the priest as the duty of every day required, and also the porters by their courses at every gate, the guards, for so David, the man of God, had commanded. All of the order of the temple had been established and set up by David, who was a marvelous administrator. And they departed not from the commandment of the king unto the priests and Levites concerning any matter or concerning the treasures. Now all of the work of Solomon was prepared unto the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord until it was finished, so the house of the Lord was perfected. And Solomon then went to Ezion-Geber and to Eloth, which is Eilat today, down on the Red Sea. And there Hiram sent to him sailors and ships, men who had knowledge of the sea. And they went with the servants of Solomon to Ophir and took from there 450 talents of gold and brought them to the king. And when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with riddles, difficult questions at Jerusalem, and with a very great company of camels that bore spices and gold in abundance, precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart. She gave him all of these riddles and all these mysteries, and Solomon told her all of her questions. He was able to answer every riddle. And there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon, the beautiful palace that he had built, and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants, when she saw the table, the food, and all that Solomon had. And going back to 1 Kings chapter 4, we are told in the fourth chapter there of 1 Kings, verse 22, so Solomon's provision for one day, 30 measures of fine flour. A measure is 10 bushels. Each day they had 300 bushels of fine flour. Think of all the pastries and the breads and all you could make with 300 bushels of flour each day. 60 measures of meal, the grain, the oats, and so forth. And then 10 fat oxen, which would be prime beef, and 20 oxen out of the pastures, which would be commercial beef. 100 sheep, besides the harts and the roebucks and the fallow deer and the fatted fowl, you know, the turkeys and your chickens and quail and everything else. Each day. Now, when she saw the meat of his table and the kind of a table that he set, the abundance of his servants actually, and the attendance of those servants and their apparel, his cupbearers and their apparel, and his ascent by the stairs by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She was wiped out. I mean, this is opulence that she couldn't believe. I mean, his servant, everything was just so perfect. And the abundance of the buffet food that was there, she couldn't handle it. I mean, just no more spirit. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of your acts and of your wisdom." I got a report about this. I couldn't believe it. "Howbeit," she said, "I didn't believe it until I came and have seen it for myself. And behold, they didn't tell me the half of it." you have exceeded the fame that I heard. Happy are your men. Happy are these your servants, which stand continually before you and are able to hear your wisdom. Blessed be Jehovah your God, which has delighted in thee to set thee on his throne to be the king for Jehovah thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore, he made you the king over them to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices of great abundance, precious stones. And neither was there any such spice as the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. And the servants also of Hiram and the servants of Solomon, which brought the gold from Ophir, brought also these algum trees and precious stones. They think the algum is probably the red sandalwood, and it was used in making instruments and all, a very special kind of a wood. And the king made of the algum trees terraces to the house of the Lord and of the king's palace, and out of them he made the harps and the psalteries for the singers, and there was none such seen before in the land of Judah. I mean, this was fancy stuff. And the king gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which she had brought unto the king. So she returned and went away to her own land, she and her servants. Now, it is thought that the queen of Sheba was probably an Arabian, and that she came from the area of Kuwait, Oman, down in that part of Arabia. However, the Ethiopians say that she was an Ethiopian and that she had come from Ethiopia. And when it declares that Solomon gave to her all that she desired, that a part of that was that he impregnated her, and that when she returned to Ethiopia, she had a son who was actually Solomon's son. And thus, in Ethiopia, up until just a few years back when the communists took over, the Ethiopians had a spiritual leader, the king, that they said was a direct descendant of Solomon. And who was it? Haile Selassie was the last of these kings to rule over Ethiopia, which he claimed, and those who followed claim, he was a direct descendant of Solomon, dating back and tracing back to the Queen of Sheba and her return from her visit to Solomon, having received all of her desire. That's what they claim. Don't know. Most Bible scholars believe that Sheba was, though, in the area of southern Arabia, down in the area of Kuwait. Now, the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year, he's not to multiply gold, but the weight of gold that came 1 year, each year, was 666 talents of gold. An interesting number indeed. Six, from a symbolic standpoint in the Bible, is the number of man. And man's imperfection. Seven is the number of completeness. Six, one short, the number of man, incomplete. We know that in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, that the number of his name will number 666. We find in the book of Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar made this great image, which is thought by many to be sort of a prefiguring of the Antichrist in the image that he will make, it was 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. So the 60 and the 6s again. And here, the amount of gold. Now, there probably is some significance, I don't know what it is, but it's interesting that it would be 666. Surely it was something that God had commanded he should not do, And it's a number that has a significance. Beside that which the chapmen and the merchants have brought, and all of the kings of Arabia, the governors in the country, brought their gold and their silver to Solomon. King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold, and there were 600 shekels of beaten gold in each target. And then he made 300 shields of beaten gold, and 300 shekels of gold went into each shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory, and this must have been something, an ivory throne that he overlaid with pure gold. There were 6 steps going up to the throne with a footstool of gold, which were fastened to the throne, and the stays on each side of the sitting place. And there were 2 lions standing by the stays. So this throne with these lions, and then there were lions on each of the steps going up. 12 lions stood there, one on either side and on the other upon the 6 steps. And there was not anything like this in all of the kingdoms. And all of the drinking vessels of King Solomon were of gold. All of the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon. Now, this house of the forest was his palace. His palace was made out of the cedars that had come from Lebanon. So it was a fancy palace, and all of the drinking vessels were of gold. None were of silver, cheap stuff, and not anything accounted of in the days of Solomon. So much, you couldn't count it. It was just, you know, they quit trying. For the king's ships went to Tarshish. Now, he had the one navy that was going from the Red Sea down along the African coast, gathering gold and trading. And then he had another navy that was plying the Mediterranean all the way to Tarshish, which is thought to have been in southern Spain. And they would make their circuit, and 3 years they would return with all of their gold, and of course, bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, peacocks. King Solomon passed all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. He surpassed them all. And the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon, an audience with him, to that they might hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver, vessels of gold, raiments and harnesses and spices, horses, mules, at a rate year by year. And Solomon had 4,000 stalls for the horses. Up in Megiddo, there's a lot of stalls that they believe go back to Solomon's times. Chariots, 12,000 horsemen, who he bestowed in the chariot cities with the king at Jerusalem. And he reigned over all the kings from the river, even unto the land of the Philistines and to the border of Egypt. And the king, that would be the river Euphrates. And the king made silver in Jerusalem as common as stones. Cedar trees were as common as the sycamore trees that are in the low plains. And they brought unto Solomon horses out of Egypt and out of all the lands. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, first and last, are they not written in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the prophecy of Ahijah the Shilonite, and in the visions of Iddo the seer against Jeroboam the son of Nebat? And Solomon reigned in Jerusalem for 40 years over all of Israel, and Solomon slept with his fathers, and he was buried in the city of David, and Rehoboam his son reigned in his stead. Now, in the book of Chronicles, it doesn't tell us of Solomon's apostasy in his later years, how that his wives turned his heart away from God. It does not tell us of his worship in the pagan temples that he had built. That is told us in the book of Kings. But the thing that gets me, how is it that a man with this wisdom and with these blessings could turn his back upon the Lord in his later years? Because somehow he felt he was above the commandments of God. Somehow he felt that they didn't apply to him. Somehow he felt that he could disobey God and get by with it. But he found that God was wiser than he. And those things which God declared did come to pass. But the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if you sow to your flesh, then of your flesh you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, then of the Spirit you're going to reap life everlasting.
We'll return with more of our study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue with the division of Israel. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May we now be doers of the word and not hearers only, because that's self-deception. You've got to put it into practice for it to have any value in your life. Let the Spirit of God now minister to you its truth as He brings to your remembrance those things that we have studied, and He enriches you in your walk and in your faith and in your life in Christ. May the Lord be with you and bless you, give you a good week. In Jesus' name.
As Easter is approaching, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is on the hearts of Christians everywhere, and how they might witness this beautiful story to their loved ones. With this in mind, The Word for Today would like to present a special MP3 entitled My Redeemer Lives that includes 14 reassuring messages to answer the significance of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and a life that should bring hope to everyone. Also included is a special presentation of the crucifixion from a doctor's perspective, as well as a powerful salvation message shared by Pastor Chuck. And when you order My Redeemer Lives MP3, we'll include a free CD by Pastor Chuck to witness to your loved ones that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. This CD, entitled A Risen Love, clearly presents the evidence to help others make a decision that will impact their immediate and eternal future. For more information, contact The Word for Today at 800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.